Welcome to a new edition of the Derek Evans Show, where we discuss the Shinsei Method and other topics relevant to your business, to your work, to your family, to your life. Self-trust in a time of crisis. In this segment of the show, we want to take up really a series of topics that address one of the most important aspects of the Shinsei Method, one of the reasons I developed the Shinsei Method as a method of training, as a method of self-development, as a method of leadership development in some cases, directed primarily towards self-help. But the themes that we describe and discuss are directly applicable to business as well, and management. Because basically in business and management, what we're talking about is managing people, motivating people, organizing procedures, means of production, policies, organizing policies, incorporating production capacities and service delivery capacities with contractors, organizing that those relationships, dealing with customers, developing product knowledge, business knowledge, customer knowledge. All of those really fall in the heading of development, self-development if you're in a position of leadership. So many of the themes that we describe and discuss on this show and at theshinseimethod.com are directly applicable to business as well as life. This is one of the reasons I developed the Shinsei Method to be a life principle method because, of course, business, leadership, management are incorporated into life. It's what you do. It's who you are. It's how you develop. It's how you think. It's your orientation. It's your way of looking at things. It's your philosophy. Now, one of the things that makes the Shinsei Method different is because it's based upon reality. We take what I take what a lot is taught in various business training programs, college training programs, business schools. I know I went to spent a lot of time in college, and I know what they teach and continue to teach there. They really don't teach competence, and it's competence that you need in any position. And it's most important during a time of crisis. Competence is crucial in a time of crisis. Because what you have to do in a crisis is find practical solutions. And in some cases, you'll have to find practical solutions where the information is not readily available. And that's what we find today. For example, finding a practical solution on how to obtain certain foods that are not available anywhere. Now, if you were lucky enough to prepare to some extent, to stock up to some degree on certain foods that you need, great. But unfortunately, we live in a society and in an environment that does not encourage the kinds of principles that we often describe and discuss on this show and at theshinseimethod.com. And again, that's why I developed the Shinsei Method, to be a method of training, self-training, first and foremost. And I developed it to have three fundamental steps: to analyze the key terms that you use. And I found that so crucial because in many training programs, lots of words are thrown around, like success, like improvement, like enhancement, even profit and profitability. A lot of times in the media, in books, in tapes, online, you name it, in general milieu of culture, a lot of these words are thrown around and very few people stop and analyze what they actually mean in practical terms. But if you want to improve and if you want to, as we like to say, develop yourself or anything else, you have to understand what terms you're using. Number one, because if you don't understand the terms you're using, there's no way you can organize other things that depend and rely on that term. And that applies to people as well, when you're organizing people. And it also applies to communication, as you see. Because if you don't understand the terms you're using, there's no way that you can communicate that to others in a way that is going to develop and derive the most desirable results. Your results, in other words. You want to achieve certain things. Let's say you want to achieve profit and profitability. But if you have a very vague idea of what profit and profitability mean in practical terms, you're not going to be able to communicate that to the people that are listening to you and looking to you to provide that kind of insight. So it begins with yourself. It begins with self-development. It begins with self-analysis, and it begins with self-awareness, self-alertness, self-understanding. So it's a practice of understanding. Understanding the terms you're using so that you can use them effectively. And notice when we use effective, when I use effective, I have a very specific idea in mind. Effective, part of being effective means to know what you're talking about, to have an idea of the concepts you're using and know what they mean in practical terms. Does that mean perfection? Of course not. It just means that you have a clear idea of what you're using and how to achieve that because you've thought about it. You've practiced it. You've looked at the results and adjusted them as needed, much as a scientist would, much as an investor would. Good investors, let alone great investors, good scientists, let alone great scientists, good leaders, good managers, good parents, good students, good professionals, you name it, let alone great in any of those areas, come from the ability to look at reality, look at facts, look at data, look at information, and make the necessary adjustments based on those real-time data points. So data is crucial. Facts are crucial. Reality is crucial. For the Shinsei method, for me, as a trainer, as a motivator, as a teacher, in a way. So when I am talking about the Shinsei method, I'm talking about analyzing those key terms that you use. Success, what does success mean? How do you measure it? How do you know when you've achieved it? How do you know when you haven't achieved it? How do you know how to get it if you haven't achieved it? These are the kinds of things that you would ask yourself as an individual so that you can properly evaluate whether or not you are successful in any real sense of the word. And that applies to everyday life as well as it applies to business. Now, in this particular segment of the show, we're talking about individual life because much of the principles we describe and talk about on this show and at the shinseimethod.com are applicable to everyday life and everyday experiences, and they become heightened in their value and validity during the times of a crisis. Because in a crisis, decisions have to be made quickly. Lots of times the information is vague or fragmented. And so therefore, you will have to know what information is useful. Sometimes there's disinformation, a lot of disinformation today, misinformation. So that means that in order to get the information you need, have to know where to go to a trusted source. And then to evaluate that information, even from a trusted source, it may be inaccurate. Maybe it's just mistaken. Those things happen. As more information becomes available, you make those adjustments as a person, following the process of a real scientist and a real investor. They become good scientists and investors because they practice what they're doing and they're using data. In the case of a scientist, he or she obtains data from experiments, doing something, looking at the results. From an investor, he gets the information from investing. And to be intelligent about it, of course, you don't invest a fortune before you've practiced something with smaller pieces. But notice these principles are based upon fundamental principles just of development in any field. We often talk about driving and typing on this show because they're repetitive activities and everyone can understand it. How do you gain experience and proficiency in driving and in typing? First, you start out small. Preferably by, if you're in a car, without turning the ignition on and going anywhere, learning where all the relevant tools are, knowing what to do in various scenarios before you even turn the ignition, know what everything stands for, what it means, what the rules are. You do all of this even before, in other words, you simulate driving before you even start with it. Same thing in bike riding, for that matter. You start out with training wheels and you go on a small bike and you build up so that you can develop your balance, and then eventually you let the training wheels go. Same thing with typing. You start off by going slow, by looking at the keys, and then you slowly try to type while not looking at the keys. So in any of these areas, driving, typing, investing, science. You start small and you work your way up to develop a level of competence in any particular field. That principle applies to every field and every endeavor. Now you can see what's behind the Shinsei method and why I call it the life principle method, because it is really using principle as a guide, as a very useful guide for many areas of life, because what I also found is that school, which is most people's first introduction to training, school really does a lot to damage and destroy this joy of figuring things out, of finding practical solutions, really of understanding. And if your understanding, if your level of understanding, your ability to understand terms, facts, events, people, reality, is hampered, so too is your ability to lead, to communicate, to develop, to evaluate, to verify, to confirm, because all of those intellectual abilities depend on your ability to analyze facts, interpret facts, put together facts, and use those facts in order to make decisions and organize other events, situations, people, circumstances. And that becomes even more important during a crisis, because during a crisis, lots of times the information is very sparse, vague. There may be some level of hysteria. People may be very fearful. And in order to educate yourself, you'll have to do just that. You'll have to educate yourself. So that means being used to knowing how to find information, where to get information, how to evaluate the information as you do get, and how that information could be of any use or validity or value to you. Again, that's what a scientist will do, and that's what an investor will do. Because in investing, because we're talking about money, and most people want to make more money, there's a lot of stuff out there. Everyone is an expert. There's a lot of expertise, in quotes, floating around in the area of investing. And most of it is just completely wrong. It's flat wrong. There are very few people who make a lot of money or fortunes based on investing. And most of the time, you don't hear from them at all. They're busy doing what they're doing. And most of the time, if you stop to think what they're doing, and if you're lucky enough that they may write a book or two, and they're truthful in their writings, you'll see that the things that they practice are completely different from what was touted as conventional wisdom. So this brings me back to this segment of the show, because really all of what I've just said highlights the importance of self-trust, developing self-trust, understanding self-trust, knowing how to protect, defend, and preserve self-trust. It's so crucial, because once you are able to develop self-trust, you're able to develop self-belief. And when you have self-belief, then you can feel much more confident to be able to find practical solutions, to be able to find real answers to real life questions, particularly during a crisis. Where to find information, where to find products, where to find food if necessary. What to do if you can't find food. Not panic, but find some other alternative for it. Ultimately, you can grow your own food, but that takes some time. So what kind of alternatives are there? How long can you last? Who's going to have access to the information or the items you may need? It's important to understand that. So people often talk about networks. But when they talk about networks, again, it's superficial. Many times it's superficial. People don't spend a lot of time analyzing what that really means in practical terms. They talk about networks, and most of the time what they mean is just people you loosely stay in contact with, not in any real way. And this is a loose organization of people that you call when you need something. Well, who likes that? And then, of course, if people that you know in your network know that you only call them when you need something, are they more likely or less likely to provide whatever it is you're looking for? It's a rhetorical question, of course. They're less likely. So when you're talking about networks, it really comes back to meaning and substance. It means developing a rapport and relationships with people that you can trust, which takes time. So now we're talking about the principles of relationship building, the principles of trust and trustworthiness, the principle of time and longevity, long-term value. These are all principles behind what we're talking about. That's the life principle method in a nutshell. Defining those terms in an individually suitable way, act on those terms, reevaluate, repeat. In order to develop what I call the three pillars of individuality, well-being, profitability, inner balance, inner strength, and of those, the most important is self-trust, what we're talking about in this segment of the show. Self-trust, how to develop self-trust. How do you develop self-trust? Well, I gave some hints about that in the first part of the show by saying you look at reality, you look at facts, come up with possible alternatives to something or to find a practical answer to something on a small scale, and then see if you're right. Verify that. That's the process of Shinsei, of course, but it's also the scientific method, experimentation on a small scale. Same thing with investing. You have a strategy, a philosophy of investing that seems to make sense by looking at companies that actually produce product that people need and want and use. You're not speculating, for example, if that's an important philosophy to you and it's less speculative, that's your philosophy, then look for a company that you may want to invest in and see if it makes sense, if the price is right. Now, I'm not giving investment advice. I want to be clear about that. But I'm talking about principles. What an investor does. I am a private investor, and I like investing. And this is the process that I take. And then you do it a little bit. And evaluate it. Look at it for a period of time. You might miss some opportunities. That's the way it goes. But if you keep at it and you keep doing, you'll build up a portfolio, and you'll build up a wealth, most importantly, a wealth of knowledge about what works and what doesn't for you. And to me, and from what I have read, and in my personal experience, both in business, in investing, and other things, that's the real source of success. Experience is the true fount of success. So by looking at the results of your strategy, you can tell. Does that work? Does it not work? Now, this is completely different from what you're taught in school, where you're usually taught to try to guess on what's going to be on an exam, do a lot of useless, pointless, irrelevant exercises that are overly complex and that have no bearing to reality, and then somehow competence is supposed to fall out of the sky after you've gone through that process. Well, of course, it doesn't. And of course, what happens is what can be predicted. People graduate from college and they have very little competence even in their chosen fields. And I know, I spent a lot of time doing that. You don't develop competence under those kind of conditions. You develop competence by practicing. Practicing principles that work, and you determine what principles work by looking at the results after you do things. And it's better to start out small, like with training wheels, like with a small project, and slowly build yourself up so you get a sense of, and you internalize, in other words, and we often talk about this on other segments of the show, terms from martial arts, because I practiced martial arts and personal self-defense combat for decades, and can still continue to remain steeped in the field, because I find it personally interesting and it has a lot of very useful principles. But from martial arts, in particular Japanese martial arts, is a term called Mushin, Makoto. And it's often translated to mean no mind or the stainless mind. The stainless mind is probably a little more accurate, but I feel that the better translation from that, from a perspective of meaning, is intuition, second nature. You accumulate experience and ability by doing things so often and for so long that it becomes second nature, just like driving or typing, where you don't have to look at the keyboards anymore, and your speed and accuracy is still quite good. Or in my case, in driving, you drive for decades with no accidents. Does that mean accidents can't happen to me? No, it doesn't. It could happen any time. But you minimize the risk of accidents by your practices, and your practices have a lot to do with your risk level. And if you are careful, adjust your speed, you really learn and adjust your driving based on the conditions, which very often people don't do, you tend to minimize the risk. And so that principle applies to everything that you do. And that's crucially important during the time of a pandemic or any time of financial crisis or any crisis. Because it's time is limited. It's very stress-oriented in a crisis. Things happen very quickly. There may be further complications in terms of people behaving in a panic-stricken way, fearful way, in a hysterical way. So you'll have to deal with that to some degree. That doesn't mean that you have to calm other people down, but you may have to adjust your own strategy so that you don't get caught up in that hysteria. Because hysteria is hyper, it's hyper-emotional, and it doesn't yield the best results. And you can confirm that for yourself in your individual life. So these practices, policies, procedures, and approaches apply in times of crisis in particular, but they apply to everyday life. And you can develop a sense of self-trust by going through this practice procedure when there's no crisis. That's the time to develop competence. That's the time to develop a plan for a crisis. Most importantly, that's the time when there is no crisis. That's the time to develop ability, competence, knowledge, and skill. So that when a crisis happens, all of what you've done up to that point, all the training that you've done, the effective training that you've done in terms of thinking and acting, behaving, communicating, interacting, then becomes your basis for handling the crisis. And that really is how self-trust is developed. But it's not really an approach that you get in many social situations. That's why self-trust is so difficult to develop. And that's another reason why it's best to develop self-trust when there's no crisis. Because it's so difficult in itself to develop self-trust because most of the social situations encourage a lack of preparedness, a lack of restraint, a lack of discipline, distractions, hyper-emotionalism, hysteria, stress, everything that is completely contrary to competence and ability and balance and inner strength that you need, especially during a time of a crisis. The social pressures are on individuals in school and work and in everyday life to put off until tomorrow what you could very well and much more easily do today. That's the general trend in school, in family, in everything. And you can look at any statistics you want to verify that for yourself. Marriage statistics, divorce statistics, the state of the family, the dysfunctional families, the test scores in schools at every just about every level, college included, the level of competency, if competency is even evaluated in any standardized way, it's often very low. And the only people that do have any level of competence are people who have developed it for themselves. That's what it boils down to, which comes back to self-trust. So it's so crucial to develop self-trust, especially during the time of a global pandemic, no matter where it came from, although understanding where it came from is important. In this case, it came from China, and there was a lot of cover-up, so that prevented a lot of potential preventative measures, mitigating measures, or mitigation strategies early on. And that's important to know, because that again is the social pressure to cover things up, not to look at things directly, not to find practical solutions. Self-trust then comes down to being able to have the inner strength and a balance to resist those social pressures on you, to establish policies, practices, and procedures that you know. Because you've looked at it, you've analyzed it, you've verified it with facts and data that this strategy works and it produces the best results for you. You know that. That's, in essence, self-trust. Until the next time on the Derek Evans Show, where we discuss the Shinsei Method and other topics relevant to you, to your business, to your work, to your family, to your life.